Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. Today's show, we are going to be discussing line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may arise. This program and the website, CoverThatSpread.com, is for entertainment purposes only, and any questions regarding the legality of gambling and online wagering should be directed to your local and state legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability and wish to place wagers with a licensed bookmaker, please do so responsibly and be sure to square up with Uncle Sam on April 15th. Sports wagering, just like any risk-based investment, for example, options, derivatives, or even hedge funds, all these can lead to losses and you must assess your own risk tolerance before you start.
I am your host, J.A., the managing director and co-founder of Cover That Spread, and I am joined by my guy. Catracho, how is it going today, buddy?
All right. Looking forward to going over the AFC West, talking a few other things as well as we get ready for some football seasons to kick off across the pond, and finishing up our baseball season here as well.
So you mentioned soccer, the other football, and Barclays Premier League is kicking off this weekend. Is that correct?
That's correct. Saturday, the first, I believe, seven or eight games will be taken off. Then we have some games on Sunday and finishing up on Monday for the first week.
All right, so busy weekend here. What, when you're starting to look at these games and you're starting to look at a league like that, obviously this is one of the better leagues. Are there going to be any interruptions with any kind of international tournaments going on?
Yes. There will be some international breaks that a lot of the leagues over in Europe take. Some of it has to do with World Cup qualifying. Some of it has to do with UEFA Championship qualifying. For those who don't know what that is, or European, I guess, championship, you would say. The teams in Europe, like the actual countries, have a tournament that takes place in 2016. So they'll be going through qualifying to see which countries make that tournament as well. So there'll be a couple things going on over there as far as the national teams are concerned that they'll take breaks for that you have to take into consideration when breaking down the season.
So looking at the season this year, where things are shaking out with those tournaments, when is kind of like a ripe time to strike if you're going to be betting this league? When's a good time to start laying off and really being diligent in your research?
Yeah, I never think there's really a time to stop being too diligent with your research. As far as striking at the right time, the beginning of the season is always good. Looking at those times when, you know, they are on break, you kind of want to take a look at the deeper teams at that point. And see where, you know, which teams are going to be weak by those international breaks because their top players are going to be called to play for the national team and which teams are not as affected by that happening. So really taking a look at what signings have happened over the summer during the transfer period takes a big role into picking how you're going to break down week to week, or even if you're making the bets on teams to win out overall for the season. So those are some things that we'll be taking a look at over the season. But starting off, taking a look over the last two seasons over in the Barclays Premier League, we've had Man City and Chelsea finishing within the top three over the last two seasons. Those are two very good picks to win the league. Chelsea is at plus 175 right now. Man City's at plus 305. I don't believe that Chelsea made enough moves over the summer to really keep their place atop the league. Their defense is pretty good, pretty solid, but I don't believe they made enough changes up front or brought enough guys in to really cover up if they have any type of injuries. Also, this is their head coach, Jose Mourinho. If anyone knows anything about him, usually in the third season is when his players kind of stop listening to him, because he's similar to those coaches that we have over here in the U.S. that really pushes his players to practice hard and expects to get the best out of them, whether they're on the practice field or during little games here or there. So look for his team to kind of shut him out this year, kind of falter a little bit. My pick right now is Arsenal. I got them back when they were at plus 400. They finished third last year in the league. They won the FA Cup for the second year in a row. And most recently, they beat Chelsea for the Community Shield Trophy in England. So they're looking really good right now. They made a great addition, getting Peter Cech as their goalkeeper, which was one of their weaker parts last year. Peter Cech has been the head goalkeeper for Chelsea over the last, can't remember how many seasons, and he is the keeper for the national team that he plays for as well. So I think that was a great addition. I look for Arsenal kind of with a young team that they've had and these big tournaments and big wins that they've had to really make a move up. They're sitting at plus 325 right now. And then rounding out the top, Manchester United is at plus 485 and Liverpool is at plus 2850 to win the league. Manchester United would be another good pick in my opinion. They finished fourth in the league last year, which was really kind of an overachievement for them because they were not very, very well balanced. They made some pretty key additions over the summer, so I'd be looking at them to kind of be a sneak pick along with Arsenal to win the league this year.
I'm also seeing Manchester City on BetDSI right now at plus 300 to win it. So they're currently coming in as the second favorite behind Chelsea at plus 175. You kind of left off Chelsea and Manchester City.
Yeah, I think Manchester City, you know, they're a really good team. They won the league 2 years ago, finished second last year. I just don't think that this – I mean, it very well could be their year. At plus 300, that's a very good pick, which moved from this morning when I wrote it down at plus 305. So you see people are putting money on Man City, which really would be a good pick as well. Arsenal's moved up quite a bit since my original bet. But my bet right now is Arsenal. I could see Man City or Man U being right there as well. I don't think Liverpool really has a shot in the dark to win the league, and I don't think there's anyone else in the league as well that is set up to really make any type of noise. Now, I did notice earlier on BetDSI that they did have some other wagers as well as far as teams to get relegated or teams to finish in the top four. So those guys, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester City, Man U, Liverpool, Tottenham, Everton, those guys are really near the top of the league every year. So some of them are really, really bad bets as far as, you know, them finishing in the top four. Like, I believe Chelsea was like minus 900 or around there. So I wouldn't be betting for them to finish in the top four because that's kind of a guarantee. Some of the ones to be relegated, Watford was a team that came up from the league just underneath the Barclays Premier League, the Championship One League it's called, or Coca-Cola Championship, I believe it may be called now. They came up. Those teams that come up from the league underneath every year are usually a decent bet to get relegated as well. So we'll be taking a closer look at those as we get closer to Saturday as well as during the season to kind of see where they're playing out.
All right. One last thing to wrap up with soccer. One future that I want to get your opinion on. Pulling these lines again off of betdsi.eu. Who will be the next
FIFA president after Joseph Blatter? Will it be? Well, I'm just going to ramble off the top three here. At minus 200, Michael Platini. At plus 325, Prince Ali bin Al-Husn. Or at plus 1200, Ahmad al-Fahad al-Sabah. Who's your guy for the next president?
I think Platini is really everybody's front runner for the job. So we could really see him make it. The field bet on that I was looking at earlier might not be a bad one either. If Platini pisses a few people off, it's possible that he will not get the majority vote. But right now he is sitting pretty as the pick to be the next FIFA president.
Well, knowing the way the FIFA operates, I can only assume that they're pumping up those future bet numbers so then they can cash in on the field bet currently at 50-1 once the time is right. So I think I'm going to be staying away from that one just because I don't trust them. But, you know, that's me. If you guys want to jump in on that, be my guest. So I wanted to, after we talk a little soccer, I want to get into the Sports Illustrated preseason top 25 for college football. We're not going to cover the whole top 25. I want to start just with the top five today. We're going to see where this goes, and you know, maybe we'll do five a week for the next couple of weeks here. But I did want to give these teams a lot of credit or a lot of exposure here on this show because I think it's really important that we take a look at them since college football is, what are we, 4 weeks out right now, 5 weeks out. So there's, you know, a lot of prep work going into this right now. Not like the NFL where you've got tons of preseason games and then you can potentially have injuries and you can have complete lineup changes between now and then. I think everyone pretty much knows what these teams are going to be bringing to the table unless there's some freak practice incident. But number one on their list is the Ohio State Buckeyes, the reigning champions. We all know the story with their three quarterbacks down to two now that Braxton Miller has moved positions. I liked Cardale Jones a lot last year. I also liked JT Barrett a lot. If I had to choose between the two of them, I would be pretty happy, you know, because I don't think you're going to make a bad decision, especially when you look at the rest of their team and the way they were rolling over teams after, I think it was the Virginia Tech game they lost. You know, after that loss, they started just steamrolling teams, and it really didn't matter who you were putting up against them because they were all just a little too good. Is there a chance that Ohio State is going to get upset this year? And a little more of a loaded question, when do you think it's a good automatic play to be making on Ohio State, and what is the line you're going to be passing on?
Yeah, I think right now they are the odds-on favorite, hands down. After they performed at the end of the season last year, you know, going to that third string quarterback and really just dominating in the postseason against Alabama and Oregon, especially in that championship game, because people thought it might have been a fluke against Alabama where Alabama was just caught off guard by the third string QB, but really just dominating against Oregon. I think that for me, Ohio State is going to be my play to win the whole thing. As far as when to make a play on them, we'll see, you know, what happens after the first few weeks of the season, after they get through some of the Big Ten schedule. Because you never really know the team. Sometimes they can get a little upset by some of those conference rivals. We saw it happen with Oregon last year against Arizona, getting beat, so you never really know which team it's going to be that really makes that upset play. So it'll be taking a couple weeks before I make a final bet, but I'd be looking at them to really just run through the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, I think they're a good pass for their non-conference schedule, just because you're probably going to see some inflated lines. Once you get to the Big Ten, especially those games against Nebraska's, the Wisconsin's, the Michigan States, I think you'll see more manageable lines, although It's hard to say if there's going to be a whole lot of value if they are steamrolling teams. So I liked playing them a lot last year. I liked playing them and getting, I believe, 8 points against Alabama and 6 points against Oregon. I liked that a lot last year and cashed in on it. I don't know how much value there will be on the board this year. Number two team, Auburn Tigers. This team was kind of dear to my heart last year. I liked what I saw. I liked the way that they graded out efficiency-wise. But then every time I would start playing them and I was getting points, they would really just lay an egg. So I think they're ready to step up. I think they are the best team in the SEC this year. Are they going to be able to translate that as a profitable advantage for us bettors?
Yeah, I could see Auburn definitely being somebody that's making noise, especially, as you said, in the SEC. It'll be interesting to see their matchup against Alabama this year because that's always one of the marquees, as well as some of the other games, within the SEC conference. But I definitely think that Auburn would be a pretty good pick to make the Final Four teams for the college football playoff.
Yeah, I don't want to say that they're a lock with Ohio State, but I think that they are probably the best contender to be in there after Ohio State. So I like the Auburn play. I like seeing them up this high. We'll see if they're able to pull that through this season. Now, the TCU Horned Frogs, they are rated number three. This is the team. I wouldn't say it's a head-scratcher they're this high, but I'm definitely – I'm not a fan of them this high. They can prove me wrong this year. I was really waiting for them to continually fall on their face last year, and they didn't. So, maybe that is a good reason why they are this high on the list right here. But I think this is a really good team to fade throughout the season. The biggest reason I think so is because you're going to see some extremely inflated lines. You're going to see some matchups where maybe they're kind of just going through the walkthrough. They're going through the motions week to week because they are so much better than a lot of the teams that are on their schedule. How are you approaching TCU going into the season?
Yeah, I think TCU was one of those teams that really had a shot last year to kind of make it along with Baylor, but because they don't have a conference championship game, really kind of set them back. But really, who are you going to take out of that Final Four with Florida State going undefeated and being the defending champs? Alabama dominating the SEC and Ohio State really dominating the Big Ten and, their non-conference schedule as well. I'm not necessarily comfortable with any of the teams from that conference being this high because of, how it's gone in the past with them, trading games here or there. So that would not be one of the teams that I'll be looking at to secure that national championship when it's all said and done. But it could be a good team to bet on during the regular season.
Yeah, my concern with them, it's always going to be inflated lines. Also, when you start looking at point totals, I ran into this a few times last season where you're starting to see these point totals get into the high 60s, 70s, and occasionally even in the 80s. That's a lot of points to be hoping for. But with the offensive power that they have, it's really hard to always want to take an under because these games can just points can go up in such a hurry, especially all over college football, but especially what seems to be around the Horned Frogs. The number four team is, I would say the biggest surprise to be on here based off of last year's record, and that is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They went 8-5 last year, but everybody is expecting them to make that next step despite losing their last four games of the season down the stretch. I thought that the Irish had a lot of struggles offensively early on in the year when they were winning, and late in the year when they started to, I don't want to say come together, but their defense was really falling apart late when their offense was starting to figure things out. So you know, this team is kind of a mix for me. I'm not sure if I'm really excited for them to take that next step or if I think this is just way too high of a ranking. What are your thoughts on the Irish?
I think that's way too high of a ranking. I do have a lot of family and friends here in the Midwest that are big Notre Dame fans. You know, they followed the team pretty closely. I haven't heard a lot of positives coming out, you know, from them, but they can be pessimistic fans. But I just haven't heard enough that would put me on the ship that the Notre Dame Irish are heading to the national championship. So that would be one that I would be passing on as well.
Yeah, I won't forget the game against Stanford where I was telling you to take Stanford and like 3 points or they were either favored or they were underdogs. I think they were 3 point underdogs. I was telling you to take them going big, and you're like, no, my uncle has a feeling. So you didn't play it, and it was a good thing you didn't because Notre Dame ends up winning by more than three, and you know that was the type of defensive game that. If you got used to watching those early in the season, it was a completely different defensive team that you saw late in the season. I don't know if they've got enough consistency or enough veteran leadership on that roster to get through the last part of the schedule there. But, you know, they're not going to have an easy way all the way into getting into the college football playoffs. Especially not being in a conference. We know they do play a lot of the ACC teams because of their basketball relationship, but I'm not sold on the Irish this year at this point. You know, things can change in October, but going into the season, I'm not feeling it for them to be making a top five team here. And finally, the number five team is the Alabama Crimson Tide. They went 12-2 last year. They ran into Cardale Jones and that Ohio State offense, and that ended their hopes of any sort of title run. You know, this what they did offensively with Lane Kiffin last year, they averaged 9.2 more plays than they did the year before. They seemed to really have things working offensively at one point. They did struggle against, Mississippi. Ole Miss did beat them. You know, this is a team that is always there year to year. I don't think you can really count them out. They're always going to be reloading. Is there anything about this Crimson Tide season that is has you feeling more or less optimistic than previous years?
No, I'm really with you there with, you know, how they reload the team every year because the program that they run, you know, they get a lot of guys getting drafted every year, you know, or going to the NFL, whether they get drafted or not, just because of, you know, the program that they're in and how everything is approached down there. I don't think that I've heard enough about them or read enough about them to make them a pick to win the national championship, but I think that every year you can't really count them out. They're always going to be right there, and it really does come down to, you know, do they get upset in those conference games, like you were saying there before, if they're going to make that national championship or not. And you never really know when those upsets are going to come. Especially with a team like the Crimson Tide, where everybody's marking it on their calendar, you know, as a team to beat every game. So I'm a little weary of picking them to win the national championship, but I'd say about halfway through the season, looking at how they've played, you know, if they're undefeated, you know, if they've been dominating really, it would be a team that I would take a look at and put my money on.
Yeah, I can, you know, they're always going to be a good pick. You can pretty much pencil them in to win 10 to 12 games a season. So I like, you know, I do like watching them. Hard to say with the lines because, you know, they do get overinflated a lot. So just another team you really have to watch who they're playing and what their what that team's strengths are. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit from college onto the pros. Before we get there, though, I did want to just discuss a little bit about the strategy. And this is how we are approaching, you know, bankroll management going into the football season, really for any season, but you know, we get so many more people contacting us and so many more people buying the packages during football season than we do the other ones. So, and I wanted to give everyone a little rundown about what our system looks like. So when you, let's say you're brand new and you're starting off your bankroll, you know, you're going to go and sign up for a sports book. Hopefully you're going through the Cover That Spread affiliates that we are connected to. And you're going to make your first deposit. So let's say, just out of simplicity, your initial deposit is going to be $1,000. What we recommend, and this is how we base our plays and the way that we, you know, build a weekly portfolio, is we're using a 1% unit price strategy. What that means is you're going to take that deposit amount, in this example it's $1,000, and you're going to use 1%, you're going to multiply it by 1% to figure out what your unit is. So when I'm talking about units, we range from 1 to 5 units on any play. So at this rate, you can say 1% is 1 unit, or a 5-unit play would be 5% of your bankroll. We don't have a whole lot of 5-unit plays. You know, we try to limit them because the risk, and also because we just, you know, it's all about layering and making sure that you're protected in the event that, you know, we miss a couple any given week. So if we take that $1,000 deposit, unit price 1% is going to be $10. So your bets are going to be $10, $20, $30, $40, or up to $50 per game. Now, what we recommend most people doing is starting off with what we call a growth strategy. And this is where we basically take your bankroll and we're trying to grow it from X amount of dollars to wherever you would like to get it, X plus X amount of dollars. So if we're trying to go from $1,000 all the way up to $5,000, we're going to have to make $4,000. So trying to build that in a responsible way, as opposed to just trying to double your money, is how we approach each and every week in the NFL. So if we are betting at 10, or if we're increasing our units every 10 units that we make, at that rate, you're going to start seeing a little exponential increase. So you're going to start off with $1,000. When you get up to $1,100, that unit price is going to change from $10 to $11. Now, it doesn't sound like much. It's not going to, you know, jump from week to week. But as we slowly increase, you're going to start seeing it build faster and faster. So it's always imperative in sports betting that you just stay with your plan. You do not overextend any given week, because that's when you can start, you know, betting poorly. You can start getting a little greedy. You can start thinking that you're not going to lose and you're just throwing out extra money. I know we've all been there. I know we've all had, you know, some bad weeks where either you're trying to buy your way out of the pit that you just dug yourself into, or you have had a great week where you think you're invincible and then you start throwing around stupid money. Everyone has done it at some point. So, you know, I just like to preach with everybody, you know, it's all about consistency and it's all about having a goal to where you want to get to. Because if you're out here just for fun, and if you're out here just because you want to, you know, throw some wagers on some games, that's great and all. But if you want to be serious, you need to come up with a strategy. You need to come up with a plan. We can help you get there. We can help you with that plan, but that's how we are approaching our betting, is we have our plan that we are trying to stick to, and we're trying to make sure that you have your goals reached. So once we get to a certain point with the growth strategy, let's say you've gotten up to that ideal amount that you wanted to get to, now we can switch you over to what we consider the income strategy. This is where, ideally, you're going to make money on a monthly basis. And then what you do is you take out those funds monthly, and that's going to be your, you know, your extra income, your extra cash that you have on hand, but you're getting that from gambling. So if your ideal bankroll was $5,000, now you're betting that unit price is at $50, 1%. We can go a little higher, too, at this point, because now we have a lot more volatility that that bankroll can handle. So if you want to say, all right, every time I win –
right, I'm up 10 units, which is $500 in this example, then you're going to take out that $500. You know, maybe that's every week. Maybe that's every 2 weeks. You know, it just kind of depends. Things are going to go up and down a little bit, but ideally they're going to be on an ascending, overall they're going to be ascending over time. Finally, we've got our speculative strategy, and this one, I know you love it as much as I love it. This is the one where we talk about parlays. Not only parlays, this is where we talk about round robins, because round robins, although can be very dangerous, if they are layered properly, these can be very, very lucrative. The example that I like is you basically don't have to hit 50% of your parlays to be profitable, because most of the parlays in the NFL are going to be paying, you know, 260 plus 260 roughly, you know, maybe down to 200 depending on the lines that you're getting or if you have to buy some points. But, you know, you're hitting at such an advantage that if you are layering them with the correct units, and if you're hitting on the big ones and the ones you're missing are the small ones, you can really accelerate your bankroll. So if you guys want some more information on our strategies, send me an email, thespread@coverthatspread.com. You can also reach out to us through the website, coverthatspread.com, and select the contact page. Catracho, how is your bankroll doing, and are you prepared for the NFL season?
I am prepared for the NFL season. We had a really good streak there with soccer that raised it up quite a bit, as well as the NHL playoffs, really pushing with the Blackhawks there, especially in that Anaheim series. So we're looking good headed into the NFL season. Going to try to build it up a little bit more as the Barclays Premier League and La Liga start off this month, as well as the German Bundesliga and other leagues, and the MLS is kind of winding down here. Try to build it up a little bit more before we really start putting a little bit more emphasis on our units heading into the NFL season.
And with the Barclays, what's your unit range? Are you going 1 through 5 on those, or you got a different, you know, a little different scale for that league?
Typically going 2 through 5. There may be a few one unit plays here or there. If I think it's kind of like an upset special game, really, I won't be necessarily placing too much money on those teams to really take on a Chelsea or Man City. But you could see some upsets against like a Manchester United or Liverpool. You know, those teams are really a lot of times ripe for a letdown. So we'll be looking at those. Those might be one unit plays where a team might be like plus 500 against them. So we'd be looking at that. With that being said, there are 3 picks that we have out tonight. Looking at leans, really 2-unit leans in the MLS, as well as the championship for the Copa Libertadores that we have been talking about quite a bit. So in the MLS, we have a money line play on the New York Red Bulls. They have been playing well as of late, being one of the participants in the International Cup of Champions, or International Champions Cup, I believe it's called, beating some of those teams from Europe, including Chelsea. So we'll be looking at them to really continue that streak, win tonight on the road. And we have a first half draw with Toronto and Orlando City. So we'll be looking at that, a first half draw. Those are always good plays because they are plus money plays, which we try to tackle as much as possible. And then talking about those plus 500s, we're looking at Tigres, UANL Tigres of the Mexican League, to win that Copa Libertadores game against River Plate out of Argentina, down in Argentina on the road. River Plate's had a few injuries heading into this game, so we really like Tigres to kind of pull off that upset and be the first team from Mexico to win that international tournament.
All right, good stuff. I've got 3 MLB plays for everybody this evening. We're going Kansas City Royals at Detroit Tigers. We're taking the Royals minus a half run.
for the first five innings. That is a two-unit play. We've got two-unit parlay on the Blue Jays and the Astros, paying plus 146. And we have a two-unit play on the Mets at Miami, first five innings, Mets minus 0.5, also a two-unit play. The Royals are at minus 115. The Mets are at minus 105. So the only plus money play is the parlay. But, you know, if we hit all three of those, we should be up well over six and a half units on the evening. So should be a good night. Let's hope these all cash some tickets this evening. We've also got, to wrap up this show, we need to talk about the AFC West. And take a look at some of the future bets. So I'm going to rattle off the win totals. You tell me over, under. Denver, 10 wins.
Looking at it last year, you know, with them 12 wins, I'm kind of looking at that even play of under. 10 wins might be about even, but I think this might be the year that they falter a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I just don't know who's going to be the one in the division to take charge and pass them up. But I do like the underplay. I think I will be leaning on Denver under 10 wins as well. Kansas City, 8.5. What do you got?
Yeah, they were right there at 9 wins last year. I'm looking at them possibly faltering as well, maybe winning just 8 games this year, being an 8-8 team, which is paying out, last time I checked, at plus 122. So I think that's really a fair assessment of where they're going to be at this year, maybe right there at that 8 win.
I want to say that they can win 9, maybe even 10. If anybody has a chance to knock Denver off, I think it's Kansas City, but 8.5, boy, that's not a lot of room for error for that team. Now, they did add Jeremy Maclin at receiver. I do like the addition. I think they may have been able to retool the offense to be a lot more, to be in a much better position this year than they were last year. I think I'm going over an 8.5 with Kansas City. I think I'm ready to roll with that one. Oakland, 5.5. Which side do you like there?
Yeah, last year at 3 wins, I don't think that they'll be a 3-win team again, but I do not like them at over 5.5. I could see them improving by a couple games, maybe pulling off to that 6 win, but I think take that even money play and put them under 5.
I like the under as well. I think they're really improved. I do. I just don't think it's enough to win 3 more games this year. So I'm going under 5.5. I'm right with you. San Diego, 8.5.
9 wins last year. I don't think that they've really done enough in the offseason to push it up over that 8.5. It's another one where I'm kind of with Kansas City. They are favored to go under at that minus 133. I think that's one that I will probably be staying away from. But if I had to lean on something, I may lean on that under.
I like Mike McCoy a lot. I like a lot of the things that the Chargers have done this offseason. I think this is a year, though, that they take a step back. There seems to be too many issues and concerns going on with where they're going to be playing in the future. There seems to be concerns with personnel on the team, with Eric Weddle and Philip Rivers possibly this being their last season. This just has the makings of a team that's about to fall apart. So I'm going to go under with San Diego. That being said, let's look at the division numbers. San Diego is at plus 355 to win it. I'm going to say that's a good pass. How about you?
Yeah, I would take that as a pass as well. Last time I checked, it was at plus 347. So you do see some teams, some people that are betting on San Diego as that pick. based on some of the information that you gave out as well with them, you know, thing to like about the team. But I'm right with you. I don't think that they've done enough to really take over KC or Denver. So I would not be picking them to win the division.
Oakland plus 2027. Both of us don't think they can even win six games. So I'm going to say we're both going to pass on that one. Kansas City plus 290. Denver minus 163. You know, if I had to pick one of these, just looking at the numbers there, I think I'm going to go Kansas City and I'm going to take the 3-1 payout. That's me. You have a different feeling on that?
I took a look at the beginning of the season schedule for both teams. I could see Denver kind of having an uphill battle at the beginning of the season, whereas KC, they do have a lot of the similar opponents, but I could see them kind of starting off strong like they have in years past, but this time kind of continuing that streak. So I like Kansas City, I believe, to win the division, even though I said they may be going under. I just like those plus money plays, and that 3-1 would be too hard to pass up.
Yeah, I like their defense. I like what they've added offensively. So I'm gonna go with KC on that one. Odds to win the AFC: Denver's at 6-1, Kansas City's 17-1, Oakland 59-1. San Diego 17-1. You know, that Denver play at 6-1, not bad. I could see them squeaking in as a wild card, assuming they don't win the division. You know, obviously, I think Denver, they've won, what, three or four straight division titles. So, you know, I don't want to count them out for winning the division, but 6-1 seems reasonable. Although, you know, New England doesn't look like they are going to be letting up at all this year. Kansas City at 17-1. I don't think I trust Andy Reid enough in the playoffs to go with that. And San Diego 17-1. I don't see them winning eight games, so I have a hard time doing anything there. Any of those futures that you like?
Yeah, I'm not really liking any of them. I know we had kind of talked about New England already being our favorite to win the AFC and possibly the Super Bowl. So I would stay away from any of those picks. If I had to make one, that I would say maybe it's Denver's year to finally get it done after making it to the Super Bowl two seasons ago. But I really don't think that that's going to happen this year. They kind of took a step back in the playoffs last year. I don't see them getting it done this year at all.
And finally, Super Bowl odds. Denver's at 13-1, KC 38-1, Oakland 115-1, San Diego 42-1. Those Denver odds at 13-1, would you take them?
Probably not. You know, that's a pretty that would be a pretty nice payout, depending on the units that you place on it. But I would stay away from any of those to win the Super Bowl. Gun to my head, if somebody said, you know, you had to pick one, I probably would go with Denver to win the Super Bowl, just because of the fact that they have been in situations where they've been close before. Kansas City really hasn't been there. Oakland, no shot in the world that I think they have a chance. In San Diego, I don't think that they have the experience behind them as well to get it done.
All right. Well, I think we're on the same page with this division then. So next week we are going to wrap up our divisional previews. We are going to hit up the NFC West and also start touching on maybe some week one lines, because those are out there. So start taking a look at those. We'll have some preseason action, MLB, MLS, Barclays Premier League. We have it all here. So be sure to check back in next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. He is Catracho. I am J.A. Good luck this evening, and may the spread be forever in your favor.